And good morning. We're back from the stand. I'm Steve Buss. And joining me right now, Steve McConkey from the Seaplane Pilots Association. Steve, glad to have you back.
Oh, glad to be back, Steve. It's awesome to be here.
Good. I take it you probably spent a little time at the seaplane base this week?
We have. Been out flying the Icon A5 a little bit. The weather's been perfect. What a great show. It's just incredible.
I wanted to ask you about that, about flying the Icon.
It's yeah.
Brand new. I know Jack Pelton, the A's president, flew it the other day, and you had a chance to fly it?
Yes, I did. It has lived up to everything they talked about, and that's so refreshing. We always hear a lot of hype about these new airplanes and a lot of big claims about their performance capabilities. And then sometimes when we get in them, it's not quite the same.
Right.
I have to tell you, the stall characteristics, the spin, anti-spin characteristics that are in that airplane are just amazing. I didn't want to get out of the airplane. They had to pry me out of it.
Excellent, excellent. What's the cruise speed on that?
About 85. Okay. It's actually slow. It's a seaplane.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not necessarily meant to be a cross-country airplane. It's meant to be something that you go and enjoy and just have a good time. Flying, which is, I think, one of the big things, is we're trying to retain and attract new people to aviation and seaplane flying, is that it came down to two words, the fun factor.
Right.
It all came down to the fun factor. Yeah. That's what it is for me.
Well, good. Good. What else was happening at the seaplane base this week that...
Aside
from all the airplanes.
All the stuff. Well, we had the Women's SOAR, the EAA Women's SOAR group out there, and with Debbie Gary, and we did a talk for them and took them for a cruise around the lagoon. And there's been all kinds of activities, manufacturers doing demo flights, a lot of seaplane rides. And it has been the largest walk-in crowd or bus-in crowd that we've ever seen out there. Which is really good because a lot of people don't even know the seaplane base exists at Oshkosh at AirVenture.
And how does someone go from the site here to the seaplane base?
EAA has taken care of that. There's a great shuttle bus over at the shuttle central over there by the control tower, and they provide transportation from there.
Okay. So. And there's no charge for that?
No charge for that at all.
Your wristband gets you in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is cool. I've heard many, many people talk about how wonderful it is, how great it is to be here at Whitman Regional Airport, see all the airplanes and all the action, but how nice it is to break and go to the seaplane base where it's much more laid back, lots of shade,
lots
of people just enjoying, as you say, the fun factor.
It is, and it's a completely, the contrast between this and that are amazing. Yeah. It's more of a park, wooded area with the waterfront, and it is stark contrast, and like I said, people really... They respond just tremendously when we get over there.
Good. Tell us a little bit about the Seaplane Pilots Association and what you do and how you support general aviation.
Well, we are the primary advocates for the seaplane community. Our number one mission is to keep the water open, to expand the amount of water that's open for the seaplane community. So we're out there working both from a local, state, and up to a federal level, keeping that water open. But we also work with the insurance companies to make sure that there is affordable insurance for the seaplane pilots. We work with the flight schools. How can we make the flight schools more effective? How can we bring new students into them? And we have a scholarship program and we just awarded at the Corn Roast on Thursday night, we awarded our latest scholarship recipient, where we do a 12 fully paid seaplane ratings per year, zero cost, the school of their choice anywhere in the country. And it's completely paid by us, which is a great program.
Good. I was reading just recently a general news article, obviously we follow a lot of aviation things, but it popped up in a general news feed about the state of New Jersey trying to restrict.
Oh, you caught that article. Good
yes,
for you.
Trying to restrict seaplanes. And I thought, how strange is that? And I saw you were quoted in the article, but I just thought, Why would a state think they could, you know, cut off access to the water? And I know you're working
very hard on that. You know, here again, there's a stark contrast between how much access we enjoy depending on state to state. Right. In Florida, where our headquarters is, there's almost unimpeded access to water.
Right.
There's 800 lakes in my county. We have 780 open to seaplanes. And then you go to a state like New Jersey, and we have like three or four. So we have some challenges there, and that's the importance of EAA, of SPA, of AOPA, of these organizations, is that we need the power to do what we need, and we need the membership to do that. But we go in there and we partner with people and say, most of this just comes down to education. There's a perception that we are a danger to boaters. There's a perception that we are bad for the environment. And we can bring the statistics and the government studies out. to, you know, disprove that. So that's what we're out there doing.
Part of your advocacy, yes. for seaplanes. About how many different seaplane bases are there in the country?
Boy, when you get to the private ones, it gets into the thousands. Right. The public ones are, we just did a study on that. There's only a couple of hundred public ones that are part of municipalities or airports. But we just did a federal grant through Congress where we pulled a bunch of industry leaders and government officials together, and we assembled a white paper that's going to help people expand that. And our banner child is Tavares, who did a public bond for $10 million about 5 years ago. They have a full-service seaplane base. They're expanding it. They have fueling. They have a pilot shop, all as part of their municipal air effort. Right in the heart of downtown, there's been 22 new businesses that have opened in that city as a result of the creation of that seaplane base. It's an amazing success story.
Excellent, excellent. And something I'm sure you'd like to replicate around
Absolutely.
The country.
Absolutely, yes, yes. And they've been very gracious. They allow us to bring city leaders in from all over the country, and they'll literally open up their books and show them how they did it.
Excellent.
Which is great.
If, you know, with the public seaplane bases being somewhat reduced for a few years, how hard is it for someone to fly, say, cross country from California to Oshkosh in a strict float plane?
Not a straight float plane.
Yeah, yeah.
That gets challenging. Yeah. And the biggest problem there is the 100 LL. Mm-hmm. Depending on the type of aircraft they're flying, if they're flying an AirCam or a Rotax powered machine, they're not going to have that much of a problem because they can go to marinas in most cases.
Right.
And what people don't realize is Super Cubs, 172s, even the Mall with the 235 horsepower engine, you can get STCs for autogas. So for those airplanes under 235 horsepower, the availability of fuel is pretty good. But when you get up into the 206s and the high horsepower 185s, it gets a little bit more restrictive. And that's part of what we're doing as well. We want to create a network where you can clearly traverse across the country by straight float airplane,
right,
and do it without a lot of hindrance.
Good. I know a number of pilots that I've talked to over the years, it's on their bucket list to get a seaplane rating.
Yeah.
And they say it's not very hard, but really it isn't, is it?
No, it's not. For most people, they can do the rating in 3 days, $2,000 to $2,500. So number one, it's one of the easiest and least expensive ratings you can ever do. It counts as a BFR.
Right.
There is no written test. There's an oral test and a practical test, and it's going to increase the average pilot's stick and rudder skills. What we see, especially with the tidal wave of adoption of the glass cockpits, is that we see the average pilot's stick and rudder skills on decline. We don't see the refinement that we like to see. By doing a seaplane rating, we're going to increase their stick and rudder skills. We're going to really enhance and give them a better sense of airmanship on how to do these things. And here again, 3 days.
Yeah. And what are the skills that you end up learning to get the...
Well, we're going to teach them glassy water landings.
Okay. Before you go, what is a glassy water landing?
Glassy water landing is kind of counterintuitive to what most people think. A glassy water landing is when there's a zero wind situation and you see that beautiful mirror image on the water. There's no waves. Well, that's actually a pretty challenging environment to land in because there's no depth perception. You can't tell how high you are above the water. Well, essentially, we set up for what the best I can assimilate is a wheel landing or an instrument approach where you pitch and power. You do not even pay attention to where the water surface is. When you feel the water, you power back and stick back, but you're on an instrument approach. You're just coming down at 150 feet per minute to the water till you touch, with no visual reference other than, here again, your attitude. Rough water landings. Here again, rough water landings can be assimilated to a soft field landing. I've had this conversation with Patty Wagstaff. We were talking about how tailwheel flying, if you're a tailwheel pilot, if you're used to those kind of skills, we can translate those very quickly. And that's what we see, that tailwheel pilots make the transition even faster. A rough water landing is a soft field landing, and a normal landing, which would be assimilated to a normal landing. But you're going to learn to read the wind. You're going to learn to read the water. You're going to get used to flying probably lower and closer to the trees and the surface of the earth than you're used to flying, because we're above 500 feet. We complain we're getting a nosebleed, which is a little bit different from most pilots. So,
good. And what are some of the other issues that are facing you today?
Well, you know, thankfully, at this particular Oshkosh, we've taken the Oshkosh by storm. I mean, we've got the first deliveries of the A5, which is spectacular, to the Young Eagles.
Right.
The top three selling, interesting, the top three selling LSAs today are all seaplanes or seaplane compatible. The Icon being number one, number two being the Carbon Cub, the Cubcrafters product, and number three being the Sea Ray. So what we see is actually a tremendous interest and growth in our community at a time when GA is really struggling to have that growth. So we're enjoying some popularity, and I attribute this to the new surge in the popularity of outdoor sports and extreme sports.
Right.
And people want to take these things to a next level. So we actually are seeing a huge upsurgence, which is great. It's
excellent. Excellent. Steve McCauley is our guest with the Seaplane Pilots Association. You mentioned you're on the field here.
Yes.
Where can folks find you?
We're over at 3167 and 3168 in Hangar C.
Okay.
We also have a tent out at the Seaplane base. And please come by if you want to learn more about our wonderful way of life. We'll be happy to share it with you. And you'll notice that Seaplane pilots have this permanent smile. And I will warn them, though, that once you get interested in seaplane flying and start doing it, there is no cure for the disease.
Good, good. It's like it's like all of aviation.
Yeah.
Once you're in, you don't get out.
So thank you, Steve.
Yeah, it's excellent. And you know, when folks get home, how can they keep up with you?
Seaplanepilotsassociation.org, and we have an easier one, seaplanes.org. They can look that up online. Just do a search for seaplanes or water flying, and we're usually going to be pretty high in the search engine.
Right.
We'll get you hooked up, and we can. We have local volunteers throughout every state of the country, so we can help them with getting flight training. We can answer any questions they have and give them more resources to make it happen.
Excellent. Any final words?
Oh, no. You know, it's been a great show. The weather's been great.
I know.
And I'm just so thankful. Every year, Oshkosh is our favorite event of the year. It's an absolute marathon, but it's a pleasure. And we just want to, we're so happy to come out here and be with the pilots and inspire people.
Great. Thank you, Steve, for joining us. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. And I see that seaplane smile already.
Yeah.
You're on the big screen.
Oh, there we go.
Right,
thank you, Steve.
Enjoy the rest of the show. And from the stand, this is EAA Radio.